Michael Carayannis is the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, and he's covering this World Cup very closely. He joins us online. G'day, Michael.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray.
Morning, Michael.
Yeah, let's have a look at this game on Friday, 18-4. Firstly, TV numbers excellent. Secondly, dogged determination from England, who I thought did well to hang in there. And thirdly, significant injuries to come from it in the form of Trbojevic and Burgess, Michael.
Yeah, well, the TV numbers were excellent. It's pleasing to see how well the tournament sort of rated already on Channel 7. And I guess, Jimmy, the match was a bit of a throwback to the test matches that like I grew up watching.
Yes.
It was physical. It was tight. There wasn't a lot of attacking football, but it was a real grind, and it was a great start to the tournament. I thought it showed, we've discussed for the last couple of weeks, how England present Australia as their biggest challenge, and I think that these two teams will play in the final. I don't think there's much doubt about that. The way England played, you can see they're going to build to something. They're very Wayne Bennett of 2010 in terms of the Dragons. They're going to be in the contest throughout the game. They're not going to blow anyone off the park.
Yeah, good observation.
But I think they're going to be in this tournament with a real shot at it.
Yeah, no, they were very good. What about Billy Slater? Michael, his comeback year just goes better and better. Gets man of the match. His stats out of Friday night were amazing. And it's remarkable to think it's his first test match, I think, for 3 years.
There's a Benjamin Button of rugby league, these aren't they? How are they getting better as they get older? He showed no signs of having not played a test match for a couple of years. He obviously spilled that bomb, which he was trying to get a 20-metre restart, but that was his only blemish. But he was sensational, one man of the match. But for me, I thought David Clemmer was best on ground for the Kangaroos. He was sensational, ran for almost 200 metres, and really took it to a very good English forward pack.
Now, I don't know whether you got the chance to see all the games, but the other scores, Fiji 58, USA 12, that's exciting. PNG 50, Wales 6, even more exciting. And I think maybe New Zealand came out and surprised a few people. We were thinking they mightn't be as strong as we'd seen previously, but they were very good against Samoa, 38-8, Michael.
Yeah, I think we saw in the Fiji and PNG games is that, like we've said, those nations below the top tier are much better than what they've been before.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. That PNG performance was pretty impressive. Obviously, they played Wales, who probably won't win a game this tournament, but the PNG are a good side, and anyone that plays them is going to be in a contest because they're physical and they've got that cohesion, and they've got that now with David Mead at the back and Nana McDonald, and the rotation of all the hookers work.
Yes.
Yesterday, I don't know how well that's going to go against some of the bigger sides, but it worked yesterday. So PNG will win their pool and go through, and then obviously Fiji were decent enough yesterday. They started, they were red hot with that. That start was amazing. Just their ball movement, it was I guess it was typical Pacific Islander football, I guess, in those first instances where they were just free in the way they were playing. They weren't constrained. They weren't strangled by what we've seen NRL teams develop in the last couple of years. It was good to see. And then New Zealand, pleasing performance by them. And I would have loved to have seen Samoa with Anthony Milford in that side. I think it just would have made a hell of a difference when they were in good ball and trying to complete their sets, and they just couldn't build any pressure there. And that's my fear for Tonga as well, is in the halves. In those big games, I just don't know if they got guys that can take control and really stick it to the opposition side. But New Zealand, they'd be happy with that hit out, considering all the pressure mounting on them heading into the competition.
Just back to the Fiji game, you talk about how important it is for the halves. I got home and saw a fair bit of that Fiji game versus the United States last night. Jared Hayne at 5'8", he seemed very much at home there, I thought, Michael.
Yeah, I think it's a good position for him at this level. I don't know if I'm the Titans, would I be playing him at 5'8", week in, week out, but he puts ownership on him to get involved. And he was just sleek. Even just the subtle changes of speed, he just really bamboozles
it. Class shot out.
Yeah. And that's what Jared should be doing against a team of amateurs, really. That's what he needs to be doing.
Hey, Michael, just getting away from the Rugby League World Cup, and there's a lot of news around from an NRL point of view. This story's been around for a while. I keep hearing it that next Friday, next week, there'll be a splitting of Matt Moylan from the Penrith Panthers. And it looks like at this stage, either Cronulla or Manly would be the teams where he would go. It's well placed too. Have you got anything on that?
Well, that's a big story. There's no doubt that Cronulla and Manly are keen to lure Moylan across. Cronulla have the money.
Yes.
So there's no doubt about that. Cronulla could sign him tomorrow and not have to move anyone on. Obviously, Manly, Blake Green's keen to get to the Warriors to get a contract. It's worth up to $800,000 a season, the Blake Green money for 4 years. It's crazy money for a guy at the back end of his career. He's been very, very good and very solid, but you can understand why he would want to get out, because no one's going to offer him that much money, and he's about 30, 31, Blake Green as well. So a four-year deal is massive. So that would open up a spot for Moylan to play alongside Cherry Evans in the halves there. So there's that potential. And the other one, obviously, that throws a bit of an X factor in is what happens with the Roosters and Mitchell Pearce as well. So there's a fair bit going to happen this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a function last night with Sharks coach Shane Flanagan, and when quizzed on recruitment, he said, well, it won't be Cooper Cronk, but we've got space and it might be a couple of others, so stay tuned. Yeah. So,
and that also throws up James Maloney's future into question as well.
Undoubtedly.
So it's
still a bit to happen.
There's a very busy couple of weeks happening in the NRL off the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we're all enjoying these World Cup games. We're enjoying your updates as well, Michael, and we'll do it again next Sunday. Thanks for your time today.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
There he is, Michael Carayannis, with an update on the World Cup.